All right, you ready to get into things? You ready to rock and roll?
Yeah.
All right, we are in a series called Momentum, and what we're doing is looking at principles that will help us have forward positive momentum in our life. And you know, every year at this particular time, you know, usually at the first of the year, I like to talk about something like that because at the first of the year, every year, people are more open to change and more open to make personal decisions than at any other time in their life. And you know, Americans, or at least most Americans, they make some kind of New Year's resolution. You know, they want to lose weight, or they want to get out of debt, or spend more time with their family, or they want to travel to a particular destination, they want to further their education. And I think the majority of people, at least that live in America, they want their life to be better than it is. I mean, don't you want things to be better than they are right now? I mean, at the end of 2013, don't you want to be able to look back and say, hey, my life is better now than it was at the beginning of the year? And let's just think about some scenarios. I mean, wouldn't it be great to be able to look back next December over 2013 and say, I am closer to God now than I have ever been in my entire life? I mean, wouldn't it be great to be able to look back and say, my marriage is better than it's ever been, or I'm in better financial shape than I've ever been in. I mean, I'm debt-free. I don't have any credit card payments. I don't have any car payments. I don't have any house payment. I am totally debt-free. The biggest financial decision I have to make is where I'm going to give. Well, some of you caught that, and you reached out there and got it. I tell you, that's a wonderful thing. You know, just I'm in the best physical shape than I've ever been in. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great to be invited to a pool party and actually go and actually swim? But you know, things can be better. I mean, I promise you that at the end of 2013, all those things can happen for you and even more. But it's not going to happen by accident. And I want to make a statement today that I hope that by the end of the day will kind of ring in your ears, and this is what I want to build upon. But everybody ends up somewhere. But few people end up somewhere on purpose. Let me say it again. Everybody ends up somewhere, but few people end up somewhere on purpose. And there's a biblical principle that governs this, the book of Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. It says, where there is no vision, say no vision.
No vision.
Where there's no vision, the people perish. Now the word vision there means dream or revelation or clearly defined destination. So it says without that, without having some clearly defined destination about where you want to go, where you want to be, who you want to become, without that, anybody, you, me, any person, they perish, they're scattered, or they live in confusion. I mean, where there's no vision for a strong family, one in two marriages end in divorce. Where there's no vision for financial freedom, we can live in the wealthiest nation on the face of the earth, and yet we can still be the most debt-ridden people alive. I mean, where there's no vision for a healthy body, we can desire to have buns of steel, but instead of having buns of steel, we have biscuits of lard. I mean, where there's no vision, we simply wander through life, we stumble around, and often we're just reduced to making it to the weekend, paying the bills, just holding our marriage together, and hoping that our children won't wind up in jail. Where there's no vision, the Bible says people perish. Now, let me ask you a rhetorical question. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being horrible, 1 being the worst it could possibly be, and 10 being heaven, I mean just the best that it could possibly be, how would you rate your last week? You said last week. What was last week? Was there a last week? Things just went by so fast. I don't know how to rate it. Or, you know, some of you might rate it the 5, you might rate it the 7, you might rate it the 3. But how would you rate your last week? And then as you think about it, and you rate last week, let me ask you another question. What did you base your rating on? I mean, if you rated it a 2, why did you rate it a 2? Well, you know, I didn't close that deal. My spouse and I got in a fight. When our kids had trouble at school, I didn't get that promotion. My car broke down. My hair didn't do what it wanted to do or what I wanted it to do. It just kind of did what it wanted to do. I mean, it was just horrible. It was a nightmare, and that's okay. But if you rated your week low, why did you rate it low? And then if you rated it high, the same question. Why did you rate your week high? Well, you know, I found a good deal. I closed a sale. My children make great grades in school. You know, we got a new car. Why did you give it that rating? In other words, how do you define your success or lack of success? I mean, are you successful because a certain thing happened? Or are you not successful because, well, just whatever happened? You see, everybody wants a great life. We all want a great life. In fact, if we were to go around and ask you to make a statement that was on nationwide television, do you want to have a great life or not a great life? I think everybody in here would say, I want to have a great life. But the majority of the people have no idea how to define what a great life is because they never really thought about it. Everybody winds up somewhere. But few people end up somewhere on purpose. As I was preparing for the day, I recall something that I read a few years ago about something that happened in the 2004 Summer Olympics. And this is just incredible. Very interesting. American marksman Matthew Emmons, he was in first place for the gold medal in the 50-meter three-position rifle final. And he was so far ahead that really all he had to do was hit the target and he would get a gold medal. And so he took aim, he prepared, he slowed his heart, stopped his breathing, fired. He didn't just hit the target, it was bullseye. I mean, right in the middle. Gold medal! Wrong. The problem was Matthew Emmons hit the wrong target. I mean, somehow because of the pressure or whatever, he got mixed up. And he lost focus, and instead of shooting the correct target, he shot the target next to him. So he went from first place in gold medal to eighth place and nothing. If we're not focused, if we're not zeroed in on what we want, it's really easy to hit the wrong target. If we're not focused, if we're not zeroed in on what we really want in life, we just wind up hitting whatever we see. One of my favorite scriptures, the book of Proverbs, chapter 21, verse 5, it says, good planning. Say, good planning. Good planning and hard work. Say, work. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. Everyone ends up somewhere, but few people end up somewhere on purpose. You and I, at the end of 2013, at December the 31st, we are going to be somewhere in our life. But will we just wind up wherever? Or will we actually end up somewhere that we have purpose? Now, if you know very much about me, you know that I really am into setting goals. I believe in setting goals for every single area of your life. There was a time that my career was teaching goal setting, and I believe that everybody should plan and accomplish everything that they are capable of doing. And I used to talk a lot more about goal setting than I do now, and here's the reason why. A few years ago, I learned that it's much more important to decide what you want to be than it is to decide what you want to accomplish. And here's why. Unless the decision is made first about who you want to be, who you want to become, our talents, our gifts, our abilities, they can take us places that our character cannot sustain. You know, every year it's kind of overwhelming. You know, they always have this thing on the news or Entertainment Tonight or something like that about the biggest screw-ups of the past year. And, you know, I mean, it's sports figures and entertainment figures and religious leaders and business people and military generals and politicians. I mean, they had everything going for them. I mean, talents and abilities and intelligence and whatever. But their talent, their abilities, their gifts, their charisma, took them places that their character could not sustain. They were rich, they were famous, they were powerful, and they accomplished great things, but they seemed to have it all. But because their focus was on accomplishment rather than character, they made some very stupid decisions which ended up living in regret. You know, I think all of us, or at least I do, I have a tendency to look at people's talents and abilities, you know, and I look at them and think about how awesome they are. But talents, accomplishments, gifts do not equal maturity. And often, talents and accomplishments can take people places that their maturity level just cannot handle. And I know I faced that. And to be perfectly transparent, totally transparent, and so many of you know this, I failed miserably. And that's why now, at the first of every year, rather than thinking about all the things that I want to accomplish, I try to spend my time and spend my efforts about focusing on who I want to be. And I encourage you that if you have not done this already, spend time thinking about the person you want to be and how you want to be remembered. And Stephen Covey, in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, he talks about maybe coming up with words that you would like to have said about you at your funeral. And of course, there's no right or wrong answers. Each one of us have to seek God and ask, you know, for what do I want to be known? But let me give you some examples from the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 3 says, now this is Samuel. He says, "Look at me. Do you have any complaints to bring before the Lord and His anointed?" Now, His anointed is me. "Have I ever stolen so much as an ox or a donkey? Have I ever taken advantage of you or exploited you? Have I ever taken a bribe or played fast or loose with the law? Bring your complaint and I'll make it right." So at the end of Samuel's life, he's literally saying, "Look, I want to be known as a man of integrity. And if there's anything that I have done that maybe I don't know about, that anyone thinks that I am less than that, let me know right now and I'll make it right." 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19 says, "Samuel grew up. God was with him, and Samuel's prophetic record was flawless." I mean, that's pretty cool, right? You know, that didn't just happen. Obviously, Samuel had made some decisions along the way that determined the kind of man that he wanted to be. Psalms 42, beginning with verse 1, says, "As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before Him?" So one of the things that David stood for was his intimacy with God. He's described as a man after God's own heart. And we know that David was many things. He was a warrior. He was a man's man. But yet he was very, very humble. He realized that a man's true strength lies in being submitted to God. 2 Chronicles chapter 1 says, "That night God appeared to Solomon and said, 'What do you want? Ask and I will give it to you.' Solomon replied to God, 'You showed faithful love to David, my father, and now you have made me king in his place. O Lord God, please continue to keep your promise to David, my father, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me the wisdom and knowledge to lead them properly." Now, God told Solomon, and think about this, "Ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you." Anything. Ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you. What would you ask for? Don't answer. Just think of what would you ask for? Well, the Bible says that Solomon asked for wisdom, and that's what he was known for. Now, when you think about Mother Teresa, what do you think about when you think about her? You think about compassion. I mean, here was a woman that purpose that she was going to be the hands and the feet of Jesus and minister to the lowest of the low, to people that no one else wanted to minister to. When you think about Mother Teresa, you think about compassion. When you think about Billy Graham, you think about evangelism. I mean, here he is. He folds those arms. He says, "Get up out of your seat and come and give your life to Christ." I mean, that's what he was. He was an evangelist. Well, who do you want to be? What do you want to be known for? How do you want to be remembered? If you haven't already done this, take some time, think about it, write it down. I mean, you might think about it like an epitaph. Again, words that you might want said over you at your funeral. Now, that's just the introduction. I want to kind of get into the meat now. In the book of Genesis, chapter 24, there's a great story about when Abraham sent his servant out to find a wife for his son Isaac. And the servant goes out, and it becomes very clear in this chapter that the servant is on a mission. Look at someone and say, "I'm on a mission." Genesis chapter 24, verse 31 says, "Laban welcomed him. 'Come on in, blessed of God. Why are you standing out here? I've got the house ready for you, and there's also a place for your camels.' So the man went into the house. The camels were unloaded and given straw and feed. Water was brought to bathe the feet of the man and the men with him. Then Laban brought out food, but the man said, 'I won't eat until I tell my story.' Laban said, 'Go ahead and tell us.'" So, in essence, this servant of Abraham was saying, "I am on a mission, and this mission is so important to me that I'm not even going to eat until you tell me about it. Or until I tell you about it." I mean, he knew why he was there. He knew what he was supposed to accomplish. And that enabled him to have great focus and confidence and passion. In fact, it was kind of like a rudder to his ship. And it kept him on track. Remember, everybody winds up somewhere, but few people wind up somewhere on purpose. So here's the question. What is your mission? Why are you here? I mean, maybe you've never thought about it. Maybe you've thought about it a lot. Maybe it's changed over the years. Maybe it started out as one thing, and well, maybe you matured and your mission changed. This might help you. Acts chapter 20, verse 24 says, "But my life is worth nothing." Say nothing. "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." So Paul said he had a mission. He had focus. He had a purpose in life, and that was to tell everybody about God's grace. And God's grace just simply means that He's not mad at you. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter the type of person that you have been. God's grace overlooks all that, and He says, "I love you, and come boldly to me." He said, "My life would not be worth anything unless I accomplish that." He said, "I could acquire wealth, I could acquire fame, I could acquire power, but it would mean nothing unless I told others the good news about God's grace." Now, that sense of mission kept Paul on track. It caused him to chart his course. It gave him confidence that his life had purpose. So let me ask you again. What's your mission in life? Why are you here? Why were you born? Who are you destined to become? Have you ever thought about it? You know, most people have never even thought about that. Like I said, the vast majority of people, they just drift along day by day by day. They have no focus. They have no goal. They have no objective. And as a result, they have no real passion in their life. It's just kind of like survival. You know, here it is, Sunday, you know, and I've got Sunday afternoon, but then I've got to get up and I've got to go to a job that I hate tomorrow. You know, and if I can make it through Monday, then there's Tuesday. If I can just make it through Tuesday, then there's hump day. And then everything's downhill from then. And then you know, it's Thursday. And then it's Friday. Oh, TGIF, come on Friday, come on Friday, come on Friday, come on Friday, come on Friday. It's Friday. If I can just make it to 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or 6:30 or whenever I get off, oh, hallelujah, now I'm off. It's party time. And then it's Sunday. And now I got to get up in the morning and go to work again. Week after week after week after week after week, it's the same thing. And I know some of you, I mean, you're really wired. You're really geared to set goals. Others of you aren't. And, you know, it doesn't make you a good person or a bad person, whether you are or not. But I will say this. If you have a life's mission, if you know what your mission is in life, I mean, you have a tendency to accomplish more and you live with greater passion. You say, well, Brad, I mean, how do I know what my life's mission is? Well, think about it like Paul did. I mean, this is really excellent. He said, my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for blank. My life is worth nothing unless I use it for blank. I mean, if I die doing this, if I die having accomplished this, I mean, I can die in peace. I mean, I would feel like that I have done what God wanted me to do. This is what I'm destined to do. You say, well, Brad, you know, hey, I'm not doing anything special. I mean, I've got two kids and diapers at home, and the most significant thing I do is wipe a crappy butt. Or I put a Band-Aid on a boo-boo. Hey, you know, the real life. But you know, that might be your life's mission right now. And what an incredible mission that is. In fact, there is no life's mission that's insignificant. You know, your life's mission might be to raise godly children. I mean, how incredible is that? Your life's mission might be to help influence teenagers to make right choices. I mean, that's preparing the next generation. It might be to set a godly example for your employees or for your coworkers. Your life's mission might be to be a godly husband, be a godly father. It might be to run for political office. It might be to make an impact in the entertainment business, to write a book, or your life's mission might be to help somebody else in their time of need. And you know, that's a really big one. I was thinking about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3, says, all praise to the God and Father of our Master, Jesus the Messiah, Father of all mercy, God of all healing counsel. Now watch this. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times. Anybody ever went through a hard time? He comes alongside us when we go through hard times, and before you know it, watch. He brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. Think about this. Everything that you've ever gone through, I mean, the good, the bad, and the ugly, can be used to help someone else. I mean, you might be a comfort to them simply by letting them know that they are not the only person that's ever experienced anything like this. You've experienced it too. I mean, maybe when you were younger, maybe you had an abortion. Maybe you've gone through a divorce. Maybe you spent some time in prison. Maybe you were raped at one time. Maybe you were strung out on drugs. Maybe you were physically abused as a child. Maybe you've been an adulterer. Maybe you have been the spouse of someone who committed adultery. Maybe you've experienced the loss of a child. Maybe you've gone through a serious illness. Maybe you have experienced prejudice. Either you have had prejudice against you or you were a very prejudiced person. And perhaps your mission in life, I mean, who knows? But perhaps your mission in life is to let someone else know, hey, you're not alone. Someone else has gone through this too and made it through. I mean, you might be able to help them avoid some of the mistakes, poor choices that you made. That can be a mission. Do you realize that you could have been born at any time in history? God calls you to be born right now. I mean, you could have been born 1,700 years ago, 200 years ago, 200 years in the future. But you were born right now. God created you with specific gifts and values and put you on this earth at this moment in history because you are uniquely prepared for something at this particular time. The book of Esther is a tremendous story about this very thing. Esther was a beautiful Jewish girl that through a series of seemingly coincidental events wound up being the queen. And while she was queen, there was a man by the name of Haman who wanted to exterminate all the Jews. Well, the king didn't know that Esther was Jewish, and so she thought that I'll just kind of keep quiet. I'll stay in the background, and nothing will happen to me. But her uncle Mordecai, he said something very significant to her. He said, if you persist in staying silent at a time like this, help and deliverance will arrive for the Jews from someplace else. But you and your family will be wiped out. Who knows? Say, who knows? Who knows? Maybe you were made queen for just such a time as this. Well, she was able to uncover the plot, save her people. Her mission became to save her people and let the Messiah come. She was made queen for that particular purpose. And who knows whether all the things you've gone through or the things that you are in the midst of right now have set you up for such a time as this. Book of Romans chapter 8 verse 28 says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Now, it doesn't say that God causes everything. I mean, there are many things that we cause because of our own foolishness. But it says that God can cause, I mean, in His wisdom, God can cause even our foolishness to be turned around for something good if we'll trust Him and give ourselves to Him. Everything you've gone through, everything you have experienced, good, bad, ugly, can be used to help someone else. I mean, you might be a comfort to them simply by letting them know that you have experienced something similar than what they have experienced. So what's your mission? Why are you here? Why were you born? What were you created for? Jesus knew. Book of Luke chapter 19 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. Mark 2:17 says, when Jesus heard this, He told them, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come not to call those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Jesus was focused. He knew why He was here. And that enabled Him to know what He was supposed to do and what not to do. Everybody ends up somewhere. But few people end up somewhere on purpose. So what's your mission? Why are you here? What is your calling? You say, Brad, why is that so important? Well, you know, there are a lot of reasons, but one particular reason is because everybody else has a vision for your life. I mean, your parents, your spouse, your friends, even complete strangers. All of them, they have a vision about what you should do, and unless you have thought it out, unless you know what your vision is, you will drift just like Matthew Emmons did to whatever target that you see, whatever makes you happy. Look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 says, then Jesus made it clear to His disciples that it was now necessary for Him to go to Jerusalem, submit to the ordeal of suffering at the hands of the religious leaders and be killed, and then on the third day to be raised up alive. That was His mission. That was His calling. That's what He was here to do. Verse 22, Peter took Him in hand, protesting, impossible, Master! That can never be. You see, Peter had a vision for Jesus. Now, I am sure that he had perfectly good intentions. But if Jesus had not been a man that was focused on His mission, Peter might have been able to persuade Him to alter it and go after something else, and then where would we be? What's your mission? What are you called to do? What is your assignment in life? Well, let me give you an assignment. Your assignment, if you choose to accept it, is to write out for yourself a one-sentence mission statement. One sentence. What's your life all about? You say, Brad, that's hard. Sure, it's hard. If it wasn't hard, everybody would do it. But let me make it easy for you. My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for blank. My life. is worth nothing to me unless I use it for blank. Everybody ends up somewhere. But few people end up somewhere on purpose. Everybody in this room will end up somewhere December 31st, 2013. Where will you be? Will you just kind of drift along? Wherever the tide takes you, well, you know, just whatever will be. Or will you be focused? Will you be zeroed in on what it is that you are called to do? And at the end of 2013, you'll be able to look back and say, I accomplished those things that were set before me.
Thank you so much for being with me today and listening to this teaching. And I want to take a minute and ask you a simple question. Can you remember a time in your life when you stopped in the course of your life and received the free gift of salvation that God has for each of us? You know, salvation is not about joining a church or shaking a preacher's hand or filling out a card or even being baptized. Salvation is accepting God's sacrifice for you through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that salvation is available to you right now. And all you have to do to receive it is accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord. And if you've never done that, would you pray with me right now and receive the forgiveness and peace that He has for you? You see, Jesus stands ready to come into your life right now, no matter where you are. And if you'd like for that to happen, would you just repeat this after me right now? Say, Lord Jesus, I receive You into my life as my Lord and Savior. I believe that You died for me and rose again from the dead. Come live in me and be the Lord of my life. I receive Your forgiveness for all my sins, and I believe that I am now a child of God. Now, if you prayed that prayer today for the first time, tell somebody what you've done, and then find a good church and start growing. And be aware of this great truth, that Jesus Christ now lives in you. God bless you, and welcome to the family of God.